This is the station you turn to first for live team coverage of breaking news. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 7 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. President Biden is looking at hurricane damage. We have the story.
Plane crash remembered on the WSU campus. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
I'm Rodney Price. Sedgwick County homicide case backlog continues to drop. Hear how much of a change has taken place in 2024 coming up.
President Biden took an aerial tour of Asheville, North Carolina and surrounding areas Tuesday that were hit hard, by Helene.
Even after Helene was downgraded to a tropical storm, North Carolina Emergency Management Director Will Ray put top winds
at 106 miles an hour.
With cities damaged and some towns gone, Governor Roy Cooper said he is still hopeful for the future.
Because the people of Western North Carolina are resilient.
It will start with the cleanup. President Biden granted the governor's request.
100% of all the costs for debris removal, emergency protective measures, for 6 months.
With many more months of recovery, even after that, yet to come. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
Israel bombs Lebanon's capital, killing at least 6 people.
The strike is described by Israel as precise. It hit a multi-story block in central Beirut, which housed a Hezbollah-affiliated health center. On X, the UN special coordinator in Lebanon described another sleepless night, counting the blasts shaking the city. Yesterday, Israel announced the deaths of 8 soldiers fighting Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. The ground incursion is designed to push Iran-backed militants away from the border. Meanwhile, Israel's considering its response to the near 200 missiles Iran launched in its own attack on Tuesday. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
There was a gathering yesterday morning at Wichita State University remembering the lives lost in the 1970 football plane crash in Colorado. 31 people died when one of 2 aircraft carrying members of the football team and boosters crashed into a mountainside. Nancy Grooms Rawls and her brother lost both of their parents in the crash.
We were so lucky to have parents that we had and what they gave us and left with us. And it has kept us going, and we hope we bring what they left to us in our lives and the lives of others. So we're grateful, so grateful.
WSU has a scholarship available dedicated to those who lost their lives in the crash.
Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty says the number of homicide cases in the county that are awaiting trial is the lowest since pre-COVID.
The pandemic caused a backlog in the county court system. In 2021, 126 homicide cases were awaiting trial. That number didn't drop much in 2022 and 2023 when it was 124 and 108 respectively. But the number dropped further this year, from 95 cases in January to 81 in August to 75 right now. Beatty commended DA Mark Bennett and his office, the sheriff, along with the court system, in resolving the issue.
That's an alarming number, but there is progress being made in moving these cases through our court system. And I think that we need to give some credit where credit is due for that.
Despite the drop, Beatty says having 75 homicide cases awaiting trial is still jarring. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
Tens of thousands of dock workers walked off the job on Tuesday in a strike that has shut down all major dockyards on the East and Gulf Coasts. Fox's Brooke Taylor with more from the Port of Houston.
With negotiations stalled, dock workers are not letting up on the picket line.
Make the deal!
The port strike is costing the economy up to $4.5 billion a day, according to economists. 36 major U.S. ports stretching from Maine to Texas are currently shut down. And because of this, many of the cargo ships that usually deliver goods to East Coast and Gulf Coast ports are now stuck offshore. The National Association of Wholesaler Distributors, along with 300 other trade groups, are calling on President Biden to take action.
President Biden could invoke a law from 1947 known as the Taft-Hartley Act to suspend the strike. But the president has said he will not intervene in this strike.
KNSS News Time now, 7:05, 5 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Another super close game for the Kansas City Royals in the playoffs. We'll have highlights and reaction coming up in sports.
And the city of Russell in western Kansas looking to upgrade facilities to bring in water from Edwards County. That story and more coming up on the KNSS Morning News. The KNSS Morning News with Stephen Ted, 7:08 now, 8 minutes past 7 o'clock. The city of Russell in western Kansas looking to upgrade facilities to bring in water from Edwards County. That's why a 3/4 cent sales tax question will be on the ballot this November. Mayor Jim Cross says if approved, the money would go to secure the water source for future needs.
The 3/4 cent would give us a little over $400,000 a year to help put back into the water reserve fund. And that's at the current rate that people are spending.
Cross cautions that if the tax does not pass, the city may need to increase water rates.
State authorities in Tennessee are investigating the company that owns a plastics factory where 11 workers were swept away by cataclysmic flooding unleashed by Hurricane Helene. A Tennessee Bureau of Investigation spokesperson saying the agency is investigating allegations involving impact plastics at the direction of the local prosecutor. Employees in the factory in the small community of Irwin asserted they weren't allowed to leave in time to avoid the storm's impact. It wasn't until water flooded into the parking lot and the power went out that the plant shut down and sent workers home. Several never made it.
A Washington state judge is coming under fire after releasing an accused killer just hours after a 65-year-old military veteran was stabbed to death.
19-year-old Kashawn Conscience Jimerson was released on $50,000 bail one day after his arrest. Cops say they arrested him after he dialed 911 to say he had stabbed someone and would be standing outside with the knife. Renton, Washington police say he told the dispatcher he'd stabbed a handyman in self-defense, the judge releasing Jimerson on bond over the objections of police. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
Five Chinese nationals face charges more than a year after they were confronted near a United States military base.
The five were University of Michigan students at the time of the incident at Camp Grang, 200 miles north of Detroit last August, where thousands of troops are training. They were confronted by a member of the Utah National Guard. The FBI says they learned the students booked a motel near the base a week before they were spotted. They're accused of misleading investigators about the trip and conspiring to clear their phones of photos they took. Authorities have not revealed whether the suspects are in custody. Congressional lawmakers have warned that some Chinese students are being used as spies by the communist regime. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:10, 10 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras showing the traffic volumes are picking up here in Wichita. Heaviest traffic we're seeing right now this morning in Wichita. We've got some fairly heavy traffic just in a couple of places. Northbound on I-135, right there in the road construction where we've got a lane restriction north of Kellogg all the way up to about 9th Street. Some slow traffic there. Traffic update from 98.7 at 1330 KNSS. I'm Jed Chambers.
And now the KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Ronnell Williams. Good morning, Ronnell.
Good morning, Steve and Ted. How you guys doing?
This is great.
Now we're getting ready to sweat to the oldies again
today.
It's
going to be a little warm today, yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I feel like that's the perfect way to explain our days ahead and what we've experienced. You know, we have those really warm days and then those days that aren't as warm. And we'll just kind of continue that tune, continue that broken record all the way through this upcoming weekend. But today going to be one of those really warm days, getting up to 92 degrees. Now, mind you, our record high, 96. So we'll be just a few degrees shy of that, but I don't think we're going to win any gold medals from Mother Nature today. So 92, mostly sunny skies, south breeze at 10 to 20 miles an hour. Do your best to stay cool out there. Feels weird saying that now that we're in the third day of October, but still, just make sure that, you know, the heat later on today isn't catching you off guard. 58 degrees later on tonight under clear skies, with still 10 to 20 mile an hour winds. Our winds gradually switching back out of the north as a front rolls through. This is going to dip our high temperatures back down to 84 tomorrow. Mind you, our average high 77 degrees, and we're going to fall down to 84. So it's still going to be pretty warm out there for this time of year, even on our slightly cooler day tomorrow. More sunshine, too. Now, Saturday, going to be windy, warmer as we jump right back up to a high of 92 degrees. No change when it comes to our dry conditions. That means sunshine all the way through the weekend. Another front actually rolling through during the second half of the weekend, though, this is going to drop our high down to 83. Another cold front right behind the first one going to knock us down to 79 on Monday. So more fall-like towards the early part of next week, but then just gradually warming back up. 80 degrees Tuesday, 83 next Wednesday, 84 next Thursday, while still staying sunny. Right now we're at 58 degrees with very little cloud cover. Nice bright start to the day again with a light south wind at 7 miles an hour.
All right, sounds good. Thank you, Ronell. The KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Ronell Williams. We had another sunny day across south central Kansas Wednesday. High temperature in Wichita was 86, normal high 77. And looking at precipitation for the year in Wichita, we are just under 8 inches below normal. Yeah. The drought continues. October 3rd, on this date of 1912, the longest dry spell in U.S. history began in Baghdad, California.
Appropriate.
They went without rain for just a shade over 2 years.
Well, that's not good.
767 days, to be exact. That was in 1912 in Baghdad, California.
Well, no mudslides during those 2 years.
On this date in 1995, the jury in the O.J. Simpson murder trial in Los Angeles found the former football star not guilty of the 1994 slayings of his former wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and Ronald Goldman. Same date, skip ahead to 2008. O.J. Simpson found guilty of robbing two sports memorabilia dealers at gunpoint in Las Vegas hotel room. Simpson was later sentenced to 9 to 35 years in prison. He was granted parole in July of 2017 and released from prison in October of that year. All right. Big, big birthday in rock and roll. Chubby Checker is 83 years old.
Hey!
Chubby Checker.
Come on, baby!
Yep.
Let's do the twist.
American singer and dancer. He is widely known for popularizing the twist dance style, which was popular for about a nanosecond, a few weeks. His birth name is Ernest Evans.
Oh, really? Ernie Evans.
Ernie Evans
is Chubby Checker.
Chubby Checker. So there you go. All right. Okay. Strike threatened. Okay. A strike that threatens to disrupt the supply chain has Americans hoarding toilet paper.
Like
it's 2020.
Yeah? Here we go again.
Many people are posting photos of empty toilet paper shelves to social media after a dock worker strike shut down 14 ports across the country in the eastern U.S. But experts say there's no need to worry because most toilet paper is shipped on land, either from U.S. factories or from Canada or Mexico. So it doesn't go through the ports. Most of what the port strike will affect is perishable goods like produce, oranges, apples, things like that. But it's one of those things where, okay, so two people go in and grab everyone they can. Now it's all gone for the rest of us.
And somebody posts a picture of from 4 years ago of an empty grocery store aisle, and
yeah,
everybody starts to panic.
Here we go. Don't panic. There's going to be enough paper, right?
Says you.
Well, I'm promising that. I give my personal promise. 7:16, Stephen Ted of the Morning here on KNSS, and things are pretty exciting for the Kansas City Royals. They are in the playoffs and going ahead, moving ahead.
Yeah, they are not only in the playoffs, but moving on.
Yeah.
Yesterday we had game two of the best of three series to open up the playoffs. The Royals in Baltimore taking on the Orioles. Once again, a very, very low scoring game. Super tight. Every batter matters. Well, the Royals won game one, 1-0. Yesterday we had an offensive explosion. Well, the Royals took a 1-0 lead. Baltimore immediately tied it up. The Royals trying to get back on top in the top of the sixth inning. You heard the game on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
The 1-1. Junior, it's a ground ball up the middle, and that is going to be a diving play by Arias. Throw to first, and a bounce is late. And Bobby Witt Jr. reaches with an infield single, so no great play on the infield this time to beat him to first base. And Bobby Witt Jr. with an infield single drives in Kyle Isbell, and the Royals take a 2-1 lead.
And that would be the final score. Royals win it 2-1. So Bobby Witt Jr. drove in the only run in Game 1. Then he drove in what would be the winning run in Game 2. Royals win that series, a sweep 2-0 at Baltimore. And the Royals advance on into the next round of the playoffs. After the game, the best hitter in the major leagues, in batting average, Bobby Witt Jr. spoke with the Major League Baseball Network.
Royals are headed to the Bronx for a date with the New York Yankees this weekend. Bobby Witt Jr. is soaking wet and happy, and we are happy that Bobby's taking a little bit of time with us. Bobby, congratulations. Give us your thoughts after knocking off a team that had played pretty well all year.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Just the team that we have, just doing things one pitch at a time, one inning at a time. It's just so much fun just being able to come in here and do that.
Here go the Royals. Another win. Three in a row now. And like you heard there, next up is a best of five with the top seed in the league, the New York Yankees. That'll begin Saturday evening. Thursday night football tonight. Begin another week in the National Football League. You got the first place Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the road in Atlanta. These are two of the top six teams in the NFC. Falcons are favored by 2 points on home turf. Bucks. 6:30 tonight. Buccaneers Falcons. Listen live on 97.5 and 1240. KFH. College volleyball yesterday. Bethel wins at home, sweeping York 3-0. That's now 7 wins in a row for the Bethel volleyball team. 15-5 on the season. Happy birthday today to former Wichita Wings soccer goalie Chris Vaccaro. His birthday, he is 66 years old today. College men's soccer. Good game on the west side tonight for Newman University hosting Northeastern State. That game will be at 7 o'clock tonight out at Newman. Both teams are off to undefeated starts in conference play, and the Newman men's soccer team has won 3 of its 4 home matches this season. Take a look at women's soccer. A win yesterday, a nice road win for Friends University. The Friends ladies went on the road at St. Mary 1-0. That means a KCAC regular season 17-game unbeaten streak now for Friends women's soccer. They're on a 4-game winning streak, undefeated in conference play right now. Another nice one right there. We got some more women's soccer action on the JUCO ranks. 12th-ranked Cowley College wins at home, beats Garden City 5-2. The unbeaten now in 5 straight games for the Cowley women's soccer team. 6-2-1 on the season. They are ranked 12th in the nation. The Hutchinson Community College women's soccer team winning at home yesterday, 3-1 over Seward County. Hutchinson ladies are 6-2-3 on the season. They are ranked 18th in the nation. And in JUCO volleyball, the number one ranked team in the nation is Cowley College, undefeated national champions last season. Good times keep on rolling this season. Cowley with a sweep on the road at Neosho County, 3-0. Cowley volleyball team ranked number one in the nation, 18-0 this season. They have now won 59 matches in a row. Number one ranked Cowley rolls right along in volleyball action.
Yeah.
That's sports with Steve and Ted.
6:21 now. Keep it up for House Call for Health. Kids' vision is not what it used to be, and some experts have a theory for that. It's coming up, Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS.
This is Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward. 58 degrees here, KNSS. Congress could take action to help those impacted by Hurricane Helene.
House Speaker Mike Johnson says Congress will have to address the devastation caused by Hurricane Helene, but says it will likely take a month to assess the damage.
We have to prioritize federal spending. We have a $35 trillion federal debt. You got to take care of national defense. You have to handle federal emergencies. These are appropriate roles for the federal government. We ought to be doing it in a bipartisan fashion, and I certainly hope that we can get that done.
This comes as a bipartisan group of senators from the states impacted by the hurricane are calling on congressional leaders to bring Congress back from recess to approve aid. FEMA has more than $20 billion front-loaded in the Disaster Relief Fund to address immediate needs before Congress returns in November. In Washington, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
A memorial was held yesterday morning on the Wichita State University campus, remembering the 31 people who died in a plane crash carrying supporters and members of the football team 54 years ago in Colorado. Eric Grooms and his sister Nancy lost their parents in the crash, and say it was a lot to deal with at a young age.
This happened in October, so, you know, we had to start new schools, midstream, just after the school. And it was the teachers, I can't say enough about, the administration of the school, the teacher, my fellow students. They knew and just really supported us.
Nine people survived that plane crash.
The COVID-19 pandemic caused a backlog in the Sedgwick County court system in 2021. 126 homicide cases were awaiting trial in 21. That number didn't drop much in 2022 or 2023, when it was 124 and 108, respectively. But the number dropped further this year, with 95 cases in January, to 81 in August, and to 75 right now. Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty says while the number of cases is high, the country is working to resolve the issue.
Although that number 75 active here in this community is a big number, and I think that's a jarring number to know that many homicides are being tried in this community, I think it also underscores the progress that we're making.
The number of homicide cases awaiting trial is the lowest since pre-COVID, since before COVID.
At yesterday's Sedgwick County Commission meeting, the board authorized the use of $10 million of federal ARPA funds to be used for revenue replacement. Those funds will be used for reimbursement of a portion of police and public safety wages and overtime paid from the general fund budget this year. That spending occurred from mid-May through last month in September. The county must spend its allotment of ARPA funding. That's more than $100 million before the end of the year.
Officials revealed the cause and origin of last year's deadly Maui wildfires.
Officials with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives in the Maui Fire Department say they believe broken power lines that re-energized led to the Lahaina wildfire. Fire crews putting out an initial blaze that sparked from a Hawaiian Electric power line that fell. But the agency say after crews left, sparks from lines re-energizing ignited dry, unmaintained vegetation with winds fueling the flames. Agencies not addressing liability. The Hawaii Supreme Court is currently reviewing a $4 billion settlement from defendants, including Maui County and Hawaiian Electric, after a judge ruled insurance companies would not be able to go after defendants for reimbursement to victims. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
Now the forecast with meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
Another cold front is on the way, not quite moving through before we hit our afternoon high, which is going to be pretty hot out there for this time of year, getting all the way up to 92 degrees. Expecting more sunshine today, too, with a south breeze at 10 to 20 miles an hour. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
And we have a clear sky now, 58 degrees, south wind at 7 miles per hour. At Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Got out for a walk yesterday afternoon, Ted. I've been hitting it pretty consistently lately.
Good.
And the past couple of days, I get on the bridge where I stretch out, and I look up, and there's not a cloud to be seen anywhere.
Yeah, sunny sky.
How unusual for this place at any time in this part of the world not to have at least some clouds of some kind. A Virginia school board has agreed to shell out $575 to a former teacher who was fired for refusing to use a transgender student's pronouns. As part of the settlement, Peter Vlaming will also have his firing expunged from his record. This is according to West Point Public Schools in Virginia. The lawsuit stemmed from the 2018 firing of Vlaming, who claimed he simply avoided using pronouns by addressing the student by name whenever possible. Vlaming told the school board he had an issue with using pronouns instead of because of his sincerely held religious and philosophical beliefs. In other words, you use a gender-neutral format. If I talk to you I can't say he or hum.
Well, then you're supposed to use whatever the person wants to be used.
But they want to. And how do you, yeah.
Could be neutral, could be either, right. Could so. Be something else.
Well, I'm not going to make light of people, but, you know, if all I said was, you can call me what you want to, just don't call me late for supper. See, I've been called a lot of things, but.
Oh, so have I.
Yeah. Oh, people get kind of sensitive about this stuff. What about Nibby?
Welcome to America in the 21st century.
We're so sensitive.
Everybody's offended by something.
How about this story about a beaver named Nibby?
We can all get behind Nibby.
Oh, yeah. 2-year-old beaver. Whether he gets to stay with the rescuers. Oh, it's a she, I guess. She has, or could be a he, because she, you don't know what she wants to be called.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, the beaver was a baby, and it must be released into wild as winter approaches in Massachusetts. It's all ended up in court because there was an uproar that even the governor has weighed in.
Oh, boy.
A judge Tuesday said, for now, Nibby will be allowed to stay in her home at Newhouse Wildlife Rescue in Chelmsford, located northwest of Boston. A hearing has been set for Friday in the case. The rescuers filed against Mass Wildlife, the state's Division of Fisheries and Wildlife, to stop the release. In other words, I guess the wildlife expert is saying, you know, this thing, we got to take Nibby and release it back in the wild, and she'll be okay because, you know, beavers know what to do. And the other people are saying, no, Nibby won't survive because Nibby's been in captivity all this time.
Which is the deal we had with Choppa.
Choppa?
Here in town.
Well, whatever happened to Choppa?
Wanted out, got out, and they'd find him swimming in the river.
Choppa got out on his own.
He got out like twice.
Whatever. Is he still around?
I think he's still there in Riverside.
Down in,
down
in the cage down there? Choppa.
And then, of course, I got to portray Choppa twice in Gridiron.
You did.
As the foul-mouthed beaver.
The foul-mouthed beaver, Choppa. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Well, okay. Yeah, it kind of was. one of my better characters over the years.
Foul-mouthed beaver, yeah.
He was not pleased.
You've played some good ones, but Choppa the foul-mouthed beaver. Not bad. It's a tarantula season, mating season in the Colorado Plains.
Oh, hey now.
Male spiders scurry out of their burrows in search of a mate. Hundreds of arachnophiles, I guess as far as arachima, whatever, flock to the small town of La Junta every year to watch them emerge, these tarantulas, in droves.
Wonderful.
I'd like to see that. Maybe to get some video. Scientists, spider enthusiasts, and curious Colorado families piled into buses just before the dusk last weekend.
Spider enthusiasts.
As tarantulas began to roam. Back in town, festival goers flaunted their tarantula-like traits in a hairy leg contest and paraded around in vintage cars with giant spiders on the hoods. For many, it was an opportunity to celebrate spiders with others who shared their
fascination. Well, there you go. Yeah, well, something for everyone.
Tarantulas. Okay. Stephen 10 in the morning now, 7:37, and on a much more serious note, this Helene's been something else. A lot of damage left behind and so forth, and President Biden and VP Harris visiting different parts of the affected area. Fox News Radio's Ryan Schmelz with us this morning. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
So where's the president today, then?
So it looks like he's going to be heading, honestly, within the next hour to Georgia, as well as Tallahassee, Florida, where some of the damage has been pretty severe. And he's going to be doing, I think, similar to what he did yesterday, where he surveys the damage and talks with local officials and first responders.
Is it much more than that? Is it anytime we have these over the years, presidents will go and visit areas like that. Is it just to kind of boost morale and let people know that somebody's thinking about them?
Well, yeah, it's also an opportunity for him to see the damage for himself, you know, talk with local officials and make sure that line of communication stays strong. But also, yes, I mean, there needs to be the assurances that the federal government is there, because the federal government has faced some criticism over the response, or what some people believe may be a lack of response. So, it depends on who you ask, obviously, but this is something that needs to be addressed, obviously.
In a situation like this, the practicality of it is that do all these people have the ability to get low-interest loans or something to rebuild? Do you know?
We'll have to wait and see. I think there is insurance, you know, that plays into this and all that, and there could be federal assistance programs. Obviously, there's a federal flood insurance program. And then, you know, Vice President Harris said that, you know, everyone's going to be eligible for like $750, which obviously ain't going to cover a home repair, but no. It, you know, can help with food and all that in the meantime. And then there's also the President Biden said that in terms of the rescue operations, debris pickup, all that will be covered for the majority of the states for 3 months. North Carolina, I believe that's going to be covered by the federal government for 6 months.
Now, my total this morning was something like 180 people dead after this tragedy. But there's still a lot of people missing, are there not, Ryan?
Yeah, that's the major concern. I mean, I've seen some of the images just from people. I have friends I have on Instagram who are in some of these areas. I mean, the water's above houses in some places. It's concerning. And yes, there's a big rescue operation going on, a big search and rescue operation going on in numerous states right now, from the Coast Guard to local officials. And it's obviously a scary time.
And I've seen video of a house, a big old house just floating down a river. And I'm thinking,
yeah,
I was saying yesterday, I'm a pretty good swimmer, but you get into that kind of water and you don't have a lot of chance. You better get out of there if you can quickly.
Yeah. That was actually something I believe President Biden addressed or brought up when he was right after he got done surveying the damage was just the image of a house that was supposed to be in one location, actually been moved to another location because of just how bad the floodwaters are. That's the kind of situation we're dealing with right now. This is one of the worst hurricanes we've seen in a while, and it's a major concern.
Do you know, Ryan, do you know if Asheville has the water's gone down there in Asheville? Because I know Asheville got really pounded.
Yeah, I think they're prone to mudslides and all that, but for an area like that to have this type of storm damage, I think it is kind of rare. Obviously, we expect it with the Outer Banks. Those are seasoned hurricane preppers over there. But, you know, for Asheville to be hit like this, I think it was kind of a once-in-a generation type of storm for them. Yeah, I think that also goes with Tallahassee, Florida. That's kind of an area of Florida that might not get the same type of hurricane impacts as some of the southern parts of the state, but they certainly got hit pretty hard, and that's why the president's going there today.
See, sir, you're correct. And the people on the coast, most of them have in that area, say, well, we've been through this before, we know what to do, but when you get clear up into where some of these areas are clear inland for a couple, 300-400 miles.
Yeah. And I mean, that was, I remember being in North Carolina after Hurricane Florence, and I was covering that hurricane, and people, there were some folks who were really devastated, and you don't want to ever discount that. But there was a good amount of folks who said, well, we thought this could have been worse. And there were a number of places that had electricity back up within a week. And, a lot of businesses were back open. And obviously, that's always a good sign. But, for the inland part of the state to see this, it is pretty rare, and it's pretty, surreal.
Well, and Congress, that you're the person who covers Congress quite a bit. They are out now. They've all gone home, so they're not going to do anything for a while on this, right?
Well, that's what we understand. They're home for now. There is a push by a bipartisan group of senators from the impacted states who are pushing to have Congress come back from recess early and to try to pass an aid bill that would replenish the disaster relief fund. Now, from what we understand, DRF has been funded $20 billion, and the government has access to that right now. But I think the question is, too, is that going to get dried up before they get back in November? We're not quite sure. Speaker Johnson said that they're still assessing how much this damage is going to cost and what the true impact is going to be, which could take up to a month. So we might not know what Congress needs to do and for a number of weeks anyway, which could come to the end of recess.
Ryan, thanks for being with us this morning. We sure appreciate it. That's Fox News Radio's Ryan Schmelz, as the president and vice president are visiting damaged areas after the hurricane. 7:43, Steve and Ted coming up the Wichita Business Journal update with Steve and Ted. Wichita's Cox machine is furloughing workers. That story and more on the way. Steve and Ted in the morning on KNN. Steve and Ted in the morning, KNSS, 7:47 on this Thursday, October 3rd. Three big things.
Three.
1970 football plane crash remembered at Wichita State University.
Two.
Textron, Boeing, and port strikes continue.
One.
President Biden is touring destruction after Hurricane Helene. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras showing really heavy traffic
northbound on I-135 due to some road construction. It starts at Harry and goes all the way through to the 8th and 9th Street exits. And we also have stalled out vehicles southbound on I-135 right around 2nd Street. Traffic update from 98.7 at 1330 KNSS. I'm Jed Chambers.
Sunny and hot today with a high of 94 degrees. Yesterday's high in Wichita, 86. Clear tonight, the overnight low, 59. And then on Friday, sunny. Tomorrow's high, 83 degrees. Now a clear sky, a south wind at 7 miles per hour, and 58 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. At midweek, an up close on Wall Street.
A choppy trading session with stocks struggling for direction and managing to eke out gains as investors continue to monitor the conflict in the Middle East and the port strike in the U.S. Tech and energy were among the best performing sectors while consumer staples lagged. Shares of Nike were the worst performer in the Dow today, falling nearly 7%. The athletic apparel and gear maker delivered first quarter earnings that did beat analysts' estimates while revenue fell but was roughly in line with expectations. The Dow winners, Salesforce, United Health Group, and American Express, the Dow decliners, Nike, Microsoft, and Merck. The Dow up 40 points, the Nasdaq up 15, S&P 500 up a fraction. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
The Department of Homeland Security has announced that it would ban the import of goods from a Chinese steel manufacturer and a Chinese maker of artificial sweetener. The agency Wednesday accused the companies of being involved in the use of forced labor from China's far west region of Xinjiang.
And local business news from the Wichita Business Journal. Cox Machine is Wichita's third largest aviation subcontractor, and Cox confirming yesterday that it will furlough a portion of its local workforce. Company President Jason Cox said that through an email that the company will furlough about 56 employees, temporarily reducing its workforce by about 20%. He added the decision comes, quote, as a result of multiple strikes affecting our industry, unquote. About 33,000 machinists at Boeing have been on strike for nearly 3 weeks on the West Coast, resulting in a hiring freeze and furloughs for thousands of corporate executives, staff, and managers to cut costs. Spirit AeroSystems, Wichita's largest employer, is one of Boeing's primary suppliers.
Amid an ongoing Textron Aviation machinist strike, the company is making another pivot on its plans surrounding the 2024 National Business of Aviation Association Business Aviation Convention and Exhibition in Las Vegas. After announcing last week it would not attend the prominent annual industry convention running October 22nd to the 24th, Textron Aviation changed course yesterday. Textron Aviation's display will include the flagship Cessna Citation Longitude business jet, the Cessna Citation Latitude, the Cessna Citation CJ4 Gen 2, and the Cessna Citation M2 Gen 2. It'll also have mock-ups of the Cessna Citation Ascend and the Cessna CJ3 Gen 2. So, bottom line is the Textron will be at that convention and will be showing off as much stuff as they can get out there. And that's local business news from the Wichita Business Journal with Steve and Ted. One of our top stories this morning, Ted, has to do with trial delays in Sedgwick County and the number of homicide cases that they've been able to clear. And now they've got the backlog down to 75 cases. Going through the pandemic, and while we were going through the pandemic, I was talking with Mark Bennett, the DA, talked with Tom Stoles and different people of the county about this. And, you know, if you can't get people together in a courtroom, you can't do trials. And they were just stuck for weeks and months that they couldn't do anything. So meanwhile, life goes on. The police arresting more people, throwing them in jail.
And they're sitting there waiting for their trial to come up.
That's another, a sign of Mother Nature doing something to us that nobody wanted.
How do you deal with that?
So, I had this experience just, a month or two ago when I was called for jury duty and went down. And the first time I'd ever been through a jury pool like that. And frankly, I thought it was efficient and well run. Thought they did a great job. Of course, they would like to hurry this thing along as much as they can and get these trials cleared. But But at any rate, I'm glad to see they're making some progress. They still have a ways to go. That pandemic is just, you know, it just impacted everybody, no doubt about it.
Here we are 4.5 years later, and we're still feeling the effects of it.
Trying to clean things up. Today is National Techies Day, encouraging students to consider a career in technology. With so many opportunities in the growing technology field, students seeking a career in technology will find promising choices anywhere they look.
Yeah, and a lot of those are pretty decent, high-paying jobs.
Yep.
And you'll probably never be unemployed if you're an IT person.
Well, maybe.
Mine works somewhere.
Unless technology somehow goes away. They're not going to happen. At any rate. And the younger people, Jad's got to be considered a techie, right? Dad, can you build a computer?
I suppose so.
Are you a guy who builds them? You know how to build a computer.
Are you? Who are you asking?
Jad.
Oh, yes, okay. I have. I do.
That's what I was thinking.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So we got a question about technology. We go to our techie, Jad Chambers.
Yeah. Well, I go to anyone because I know anyone has more expertise than me.
Yeah.
Whoever the next human is I see, I ask that.
Although I will admit, because of the way things are kind of priced nowadays, to be honest, the last computer the one I use at my home, I bought it. I didn't put it together. It's the first one I've ever bought that I didn't build myself.
Well, the interesting thing about the modern electronics is that I've heard this time and again. How long have you had that computer? I don't know, 4 or 5 years. Yeah, get another one.
Yeah.
Nothing you can do about that. Get another one. Get a new one. And it's changing so fast. My goodness gracious.
Yep.
I'm like you, Ted. If I got something wrong with the computer, I can go shout out the door into the wind and say, anybody out there want to come and help
me? Yeah, the squirrel burying a nut in my front yard probably knows more than I do.
Yeah, we're pretty primitive. At any rate, we've managed to go on the air and make programs on the radio 6,774 times since January of 1998.
Yes, sir.
And thank you for the technology that's helped us to do that.
Exactly.
There you go. Stay with Steve and Ted coming up in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. As always, we've got a lot of great things planned for you. We'll tell you more about President Biden touring Helene devastation. That's one of our top stories this morning in the news. Ted has sports coming up, right, Ted?
Yeah, we'll have a Kansas City Royals highlights and reaction and our Minute with Mitch on Thursday mornings talking Chiefs football. So that's all coming up in sports.
Plus entertainment news, the Blur is on the way, too.
Could be a blue medal winning episode of the Blur again. We got a lot of great audio.
You think after Mule Train yesterday?
Even after yesterday. Yeah, I think we got another big one today. So that's at 8:35 this morning.
In the 8 o'clock hour with Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.